If you're looking for a holiday treat, there's still time to go and see the magic and energy connected with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory on Broadway. The cast is hilarious. Three of them joined me recently in New York City to talk about the show that closes January 14th. Kathy Fitzgerald and Ben Crawford both play parents of nasty kids, and Trista Dolleson plays Violet, one of those kids who gets a chance to tour Willy Wonka's special place. Let's get to know Trista, Ben, and Kathy a little bit better. Kathy Fitzgerald, you play Mrs. Gloop. You've been in so many Broadway productions. It was wonderful to see you in this. And I know this was a role that you've said kind of, other than the IQ, kind of takes you inside a little bit, is really a reflection of you a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I'm a pretty happy person. She's a pretty happy lady. The musical director came to me the other day and said, I don't know how to say this to you, but you've gotten dumber over the months. And I went, wow, I'm going to take that as a compliment. Because she really is. They're both me and F, who plays F. Michael Haney, who plays my son. We play it really, we're not that bright. We're really joyful, though, and we love each other a lot. But we're not the brightest of bulbs on the tree. But they're fun. It's fun because coming from Wicked, I play this horrible person for a long time, it's really fun playing somebody just innocent and not that bright and full of joy. So I'm going to get a kick out of her. And I get to yodel. It's fun.
Oh, when I was just a girl, I used to dream of a mate who would bring me lots of sweets and put some sausage on my plate. Mr. Gloop was quite a meal, but now he seems just like a crumb, because it turns out the dessert was yet to come. So we were wed, and in my magen something big began to bloom, and my liver and my kidney had to vacate to make room. Since the blessed day arrived, and out he rode so round and sweet, and the first one said he added, "Let's eat."
Madame Morrible and you know, Mrs. Gloop are two really different characters. But when it comes to this show, most people have seen some version of either Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka. Yeah. So when you approached this role, what did you want to do with it?
I actually didn't know what I was going to do with it. And then my family and I, we went to Ireland the year before we started rehearsal. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do with it because I wanted to do something different. And we were on a tour of the Titanic, and it's a little town in Ireland where Titanic set off from. And we took a tour, and this German woman who was about 6'3", so loud and so obnoxious, and she kept interrupting the tour guide and asking questions and going, "Oh, excuse me, I don't understand." And she would scream and then look at us and laugh. She thought it was hilarious every time she opened her mouth, and she was so obnoxious. And I went, "Oh my God, that's Mrs. Gloop."
We're glad you found her. We're also glad that Ben Crawford didn't become a pediatrician.
Wow, right out of nowhere brings it through. Yes. I was going to be a doctor originally, and then I changed my mind and decided I'd try and play one on TV or the stage. I have played on the stage, so I've achieved that dream. But yeah, nice Ben Crawford fact out of nowhere.
Were your parents upset? I always wondered that. Were your parents upset?
No, they were good. They were really supportive about everything.
And you play Mr. Salt, and wonderful costumes for every character in Mr. Salt included.
As soon as Mr. Wonka made his announcement, my Veruca expressed a very keen interest in the contest. She said,
"I want a ticket now!"
How could I possibly refuse? When Veruca says,
"More,"
I buy another store. And when Veruca says,
"Now,"
the sweat forms on my brow. And when Veruca says,
"Again,"
no matter where or when, we better all kowtow to
"More, now, again."
Your hair, I have to say, how dare you sit here with me with that wonderful hair of yours. In the show, you have a nice white streak in it as well.
Yes, they decided to add this little streak to like a little like stress place where Veruca kind of drives Mr. Salt to a point where his hair has started to gray. And it was a great idea. So I have this tiny little wig that the hair department, Michael, comes up every day and glues it on to my head. We call it the tiniest wig on Broadway. If you go on the internet, on my Instagram, you'll see me singing about it sometimes. But it's the funniest. Yeah, it's this tiny little guy that just glues onto the side of my head. And hilarity, you know, prevails after I apply that. So, yeah.
Only one person in this room got a golden ticket when she opened up her chocolate, and that was Trista Dolleson, who plays Violet. What a fun character, Trista, that you play in Violet, because eventually She gets real big and turns into a ball and rolls across the stage, which I know you said that is troublesome at times being in that outfit, right?
Oh, my goodness. That outfit is stress. It's a stress ball, literally. It is very balls, because I have three balls that are kind of like my transition into blueberry, full blueberry. One is made out of latex and is on my body, and then one is made out of foam, which is kind of like goes on top of the latex, and then there's also like a full-size ball. Spoiler alert. But like there are all these different just like elements that create the magic that her turn into a blueberry, which is fabulous.
My daddy says it's my time and there ain't no doubt about it.
Queen of Pop really comes from church for you, right? Mm-hmm. That's where you started back in the church, and you love to sing gospel, and mm-hmm. you might be doing some, you know, some other stuff after this show. Do you bring any of that to this character?
Oh my goodness, I think that she just loves to sing, and I think that's me in a nutshell, so I do identify with that. And I think this character, I mean, she's so flashy, she's so filled with pride, and I think we all should have elements. I literally was saying, like, what do you think are the good things about the kids? Because they're supposed to be rotten kids. But I said, each kid, I think, should have a small dose of each one of the traits that we have way too much of. So hers is pride. And it also, I always say, like, because I talk to kids all the time on, like, social media, and we talk about, like, confidence and, like, self, you know, self-esteem. And I feel like pride also helps that. So I'm like, well, she has the pride, and I feel like I have to keep my pride up all the time. So I'm happy about her being a proud girl.
You have a great command of the audience on stage. You also got to do that in conventions when you actually had the youth convention. I understand that you enjoy that. What does Dad say about seeing you here on Broadway?
Oh, he loves it. And thankfully, this season I was a 17-year-old, and then I went to, now I'm 12-ish, Violet's 12. So I haven't done anything too risque as far as, like, way outside of my, worship roots. But I do, he loves it. I mean, it's so much fun. I got to say the D word in my previous show, so that was, like, the most risque I've ever. I don't do anything too bad, so he loves it. He's so proud. He's a proud papa, for sure.
Trista was in Bronx Tale before this. And when it comes to fathers, your father, Kathy, was very influential in you becoming an actress. Mm-hmm. Tell us the wonderful story about he started theater in L.A. and eventually working for Disney and coming up with ride ideas.
Yeah, he's a really talented guy. He opened up Downey Civic Light Opera in L.A. With another fellow. And so he put me in my first show when I was like 5. So on weekends, me and my brother and sister would go down to his theater and just build sets. So I thought, I mean, I don't think I could do anything else. That's all I could do. So he did that for about 25 years. And then Disney hired him to be the liaison between the technical people and the artistic people to develop the actual rides you see. Like Spaceship Earth is his ride. And he's done a million rides. And he also was did the queue lines. Like the, what's the one with the big ball and the tube coming after the guy? Dun, 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 dun.
Indiana
Jones. Right, the cue line for that was his. He did, what's it called? In Paris, he designed a lot of the Paris Disney, Euro Disney. He opened up Disney World. So he's done a ton and ton of, yeah. Yeah, I've got a lot of Disney stuff at home because he was, you know, he just was so into it for so many years.
I'm sitting next to someone who is a new dad, 3-month-old daughter. How's that been going, and how difficult is it to be in a show and to be a new dad?
Well, it's interesting. You know, you kind of get sleep when you can. You start to realize at a very early age that they are dictating the rest of your life, and it's been a new unexplored territory, but had a great time maneuvering that, and she's beautiful. So we're very excited, and we're very lucky. Yeah.
So when she gets a little bit older and starts watching the shows like I did with my daughter, all those shows, she's going to see Mr. Salt, and she's going to see Shrek, and you're going to say, I was in these shows.
Back when you didn't remember because you were so little, I was playing these parts. So don't you forget, honey. I'll say something like that. It'll be something of that nature.
And please don't be an actor.
And please don't. She can. She has to get like an economics degree or business degree or something. We'll talk. We got a couple years before we get to that conversation. But
you had talked about how backstage everyone gets along really well. And I know you have a video online that you take us back and see all the fun that's going on. How much, you don't have much time to get this whole connection with all these actors, do you, when you start a show like this? So how do you build that chemistry? And obviously, I would imagine it changes. There's three different Charlies in this show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that seems to be a challenge as well. How do you do it?
I mean, I think for me it was interesting because I was one of the last people kind of like cast in the show. I think these guys have been around for a couple versions of the workshops and stuff. And so to come in and like everyone was just great and kind of opening and like I think with the way the show was created and it was just like there was a lot of be yourself and come in and like bring what you have to the table and like we'll like make a show. That open attitude like really kind of helps the new people to come in and everyone just has a great time on and off stage.
Christian Worrell, tell me about, obviously he plays Willy Wonka in the show, brings so much power to this production.
He makes me feel comfortable as an actor. I don't get to play much with him because it's so many of us that go into the factory and then I'm second to go. But when I do, you know, he's always trying to recreate and make it even more fun. He makes us laugh on stage.
All the time.
We'll do themes. He has like this ballerina thing that he's been doing with like Porta Bras. She's beautiful. A beautiful ballerina.
Great form. Yeah.
Great form. I mean, honestly, he never stops. And the show is really, I mean, it kind of is just him the whole time from top to bottom. It's all about him. He starts a show and he ends the show. And what he does with the time that he's given and his genius is just, it's been remarkable to work with him, for sure.
Who can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew, cover it in chocolate and a miracle or two? The Candyman. Oh, the Candyman can. Yes, the Candyman can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. My name is Willy Wonka. I make chocolate. Quite simply, the greatest invention in the entire history of the world. Whoever could there be who doesn't love the tooth-tickling, tongue-tastical taste of a sweet bar of soft milk chocolate? Except dogs, of course. It's poisonous to dogs. But apart from dogs... There comes a time in every chocolatier's life.
The amazing Christian Borle as Willy Wonka in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the musical running through January 14th at the L'Enfantin Theater in New York City. Let's head back to New York now and speak with three of the cast members, Kathy Fitzgerald, Ben Crawford, and Trista Dollison. Silly indeed, and when it comes to Violet, you know, you had to really earn this part, I understand. You had to get the approval.
Yes.
What was that all about? I mean, and the fact that you're playing, you know, you're playing a much younger person now. Mm. How difficult was that for you? Did it take you back to when you were 12?
It definitely did. It has elements because this movie, I feel like, I definitely remember seeing it when I was younger. So it does have that kind of like element of nostalgia. Because I think the most recent Charlie and the Chocolate Factory came out like 2002 or 1. But what's really cool is that this, when you're working with shows that have so much history, Roald Dahl has an estate. And so that estate, we all needed to be verified through the estate. So they videotaped like one of our early labs because they kept going back and forth as far as if they were going to use actual children as the kids or using adults as kids. And our director was kind of adamant about using adults as kids. So it was one of those things where they didn't know if it was going to work or if it would be approved. So I kind of went in with this is exciting to do it, but I'm not sure if I'm going to do it, if there's going to be three little girls who are going to get this opportunity instead of me. So it was a kind of unique experience, one of the first times before we got, you know, the actual Broadway contract and they say you're approved. It was all these like red tape fancy stuff that you had to go through.
And your big number, you know, it's funny with the whole Queen of Pop thing. And then I see online, I see you singing the prayer and it's like, this is the same person.
It really really is. It is, you know, it is something that's very interesting singing, because I'm using like a character voice. It's very nasally and very girly poppy. And it is weird that sometimes when I sing in my regular voice, I'm like, okay, I got to take the violin out, which is you get so used to singing in a, you know, a certain style. It's kind of, you're like, okay, switch gears. The switching gears is real. It is.
Kathy, I've heard you talk about many of your roles, and some of the roles were in shows that didn't have a long run that you seem to like the most. 9 to 5 seems to be one that you really enjoyed, and people who got the chance to see that know how wonderful you were.
Sorry, that would be called flops. I've done like 2 hits and 3 flops. And, you know, just because they're considered flops, which means they don't make their money back and you close early, doesn't mean you don't have such connection with them. And I love doing 9 to 5. I had this great song in a bathroom that I just dug. And I love the company. It was, you know, sometimes the most fun ends quickly, you know. But it's sad because it's like I kind of feel like we're ending a little too quickly, actually. You know, and I didn't quite feel quite done, and so I'm kind of wrapping my head around that. Even though this has been 10 months, not 5 months. 5 months really hurt your feelings. But that's the business, and that's what we do, and Broadway's hard. And things just don't run. Or if things are like Wicked, and they run for 14 years. It's a really weird thing to do. But I mean, like today, I'm going to go, you know, clean out my dressing room, and it's like it always kills me when I do that. It's like, oh, I don't want to do this. My husband has to drive the car down and put my tiny little couch in. It's like, oh God, here we go again. You know, how many times have I done this? But you know, I'm proud of us. I'm proud of the work we've done, and the company's so fun. And like Ben says, we laugh all the time. You know,
I know it's just a prop, and you don't actually eat the sausages, the bratwurst, the schnitzel, whatever it might be, when it comes to, I have to ask you, though, yeah. Do you eat sausage or
do
hot dog?
Sausage?
I mean, do you eat any? I mean, because...
Yes, I'm a sausage eater. I like chicken sausage. There's many flavors of sausage I like. I think I gave sausage for an opening night gift, mm-hmm. beer and sausages, but... The ones on the show we get to play with are so fun. Like, I couldn't believe how we lucked out. Like, on the first day of rehearsal, there was this prop table, and there was all sorts of different sizes of wieners. Wiener schnitzels, I call them. But it was so fun. I mean, I have this huge one that's about 2 feet long and about 5 inches thick that's jiggly. It's, like, so fun. You couldn't ask for a better prop in life. It's probably my favorite prop ever. I keep telling the prop guy I'm going to steal it when we leave. But, I mean, there's really fun stuff you can do. I swag them around. I hit people with them.
She hits people.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to be told to stop it a lot. Yeah, they're really fun. Off stage and on. Wieners are fun. Oops. Maybe I should...
So you actually...
Kathy, gosh! Jeez!
Oh, God, we just went blue.
Now, you get to go to a ball, but you have to wear a costume. It's a masquerade ball. Maybe the Phantom's coming down the staircase. I don't know. But you can either wear Madame Morrible or you can wear what you have as Mrs. Gloop. What costume do you like better?
Sorry, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, because I love my crazy clown costume with my crazy cape. But the marble costumes are insane. You feel like a fairy princess. I love those costumes. I've had like 5 sets of them, if you can believe it. And they're the most beautiful things I've ever worn. Especially because I'm a character woman, I get to play a lot of weird people who don't always look great on stage. So when you play Madame Morrible, you look like $1 million. And you feel like $1 million because the costumes are just unreal. Beautiful.
She has trouble with the language and the IQ of your character, so maybe there's a little bit of a connection between the two.
Hey, we've just kind of had this great relationship where it's like how evil can she be and how little can Mr. Salt do to restrain her because he's a terrible parent. But he has his methods. They don't work. One of the great things is just like the improvising that we do in the show. And I'm like, by now, the show's been running for so long, there's just great comedy that the audience doesn't hear with trying to, like, get a – this is not an offense to Emma, but a devil daughter to, like, do what you want her to, and she doesn't want to. And just the conversations we have on stage, and I have a song I sing her where I want her to stand in the square that I drew. When I found out who was playing Veruca, I was like, oh, great. Like, we had just done, a workshop together and just thinking about how weird Emma was when we worked together. I was like, this is good. This is like two kinds of weird that will like work together. So, yeah, her like very active Veruca with like a very inactive father has been a good mesh, I would say.
So many good looking people, and I'm sitting with three of them here.
Honey.
So many good people in this show, and you also have a hunk as your dad, Alan H. Green. So, what's going on between the two of you?
Oh my goodness! First of all, I've never worked with Alan, so in. We do things alike, which is so odd that you would think that we've known each other for years, but we don't. I mean, literally have known each other for like a year now, a year and a half. And he just lights my life. Like, he walks around with no shirt on. Like, I mean, Ben can attest. Like, he's usually is topless, showing his physique. If you follow him on Instagram or anything else, he works out and then eats Popeyes. He's like my hero. If I could do what he does and remain topless and svelte, I would be a happy camper. He's amazing. I mean, he loves food. He loves to work out.
So he's at the gym, like, all the time. He's at the gym, like...
All the time.
He'll like, we'll come before a two-show day, and he's like, I'm like, how you doing? He's like, good, I woke up early, so I decided to go do a class at the gym. How? We have the hardest weekends. We have five show weekends. I was just on the Instas today talking about how I couldn't. I like literally put clothes on to go out and do stuff, and then was like, "Who am I kidding? It can wait till tomorrow." Like, don't worry about it. It's just that's hard after five show a weekend, and you just feel worse when Alan is going out and working out on top of the shows.
And then eating, like Trisha says, he eats Popeyes, he's fried chicken, and he loves food so much. I tell him that he should have a blog.
It's not
because
fair.
The other day he came to our dressing room, me and the boys, and he had this fried shrimp that was stuffed with cheese and stuff, and he ate it and described it at the same time. He's like Food Network Channel.
He needs to have a blog about food.
He makes everything sound and look delicious.
Yes. If you come to work and you're like, I just really want a burger that's moist. Junior's, you need to get the steak. Like, he'll have, like, the specific burger. And he was like, it's only $19.99. They'll bring it in 15 minutes. He knows the whole thing. He should really have a food blog.
Yeah, he really should.
And he's just so amazing. And honestly, like, his time management is awesome. He's, like, did two readings that somehow overlapped and was still working out and doing our show. He makes me feel inadequate sometimes,
I'm just tired of hearing about his day.
I'll just be like, he'll tell me what he did. I woke up, worked out, and then I went to rehearsal for one reading, and then I went to the other one, and then I had like 2 hours before the show, so I went back into another class. And I'm like, that's like my week that you did in a day. Yeah. So thanks, Alan, for making me feel inferior. Great.
I wanted to ask you, it's been an amazing year for you with Bronx Tale and with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. When you're sitting across from Kathy Fitzgerald, you might have had a chance to bend her ear a lot during this show, but is there a question now that you would want to ask her about life on Broadway? That
we're girlfriends. We don't
I
really
know.
Talk that way.
We talk all the time. What would I ask Kathy?
Maybe what not to do?
Well, you know what, though? She has given me so many nuggets. This woman, she doesn't think they're nuggets because she loves to joke, clearly. And she keeps me laughing. But she just talks about her life and how remarkable all her professional experiences have been. And we have what we call tea time, where we just talk. It's kind of, she's first to go and I'm second. So after that, we hang out on the little boys in their dressing room, on their couch.
We have a lot of dressing rooms. I have three dressing rooms.
Yeah.
Ben and Alan's, the Charlie's, and my own.
And your own, that she has that she doesn't use. She's always like, I have a room, honey. If you want to go up there and sleep, you can go up there. No, let me see. What would I ask you? Well, she's married. We talk about being married on Broadway. We talk about...
What's up with Clarence, by the way?
Nothing but...
Clarence!
I love that.
He's
great. Well, and both of our husbands aren't in the business, which is also convenient. Her husband does money, and my husband is now doing things with mice. He's like a chemist, pharmacologist, which is like the science behind pharmaceuticals.
I know something we talked about the other day. She was supposed to go to I shouldn't say this online.
What?
But when you had, I was talked to you, you had to go on that surgery. You should really do it.
Oh, yes. She gives me really good mother-in-law advice. This is the abridged like version of what we were talking about. She gives me good mother-in-law advice, which anyone who has a mother-in-law knows what I am talking about. But yeah, she gives me stuff all the time. I can't think of anything right now on the spot, but I love this woman.
Yeah, we're girlfriends.
Thank you, Kathy, for all your advice.
Oh, Trist, I love you.
I love you too.
You know, Ben Crawford's going to be doing some symphony concerts coming up.
You can sing.
So how fun is it to be able to know that you have somebody who calls upon you and says, you know, I'm doing some symphonies. You want to sing? That's got to be a very comforting situation for you.
Yeah, it's a blessing, especially in this business. It's they're great work. Once you like kind of know with the material and stuff, then you're kind of set. When that show goes to a different symphony and performs, you kind of already know it and just kind of have to review it a bit. So that's kind of cool. You don't have to bring up new material every time. But and then you sing with like 50-60 piece orchestra, and you sing some of like Broadway's most famous work. It's incredible. And I started doing a new one where we're also doing stuff with Cirque artists. So as we're singing, we've got people hanging from the roof doing flips, and a guy is, spinning a three-dimensional cube around his body while you're singing like Pinball Wizard. Like, there's all this just crazy, wonderful things. And I feel like the symphony is such a – it's one of the first things, like, when public funding gets cut, they always go after the symphonies, and they're just this great connection to the public, and the public has to the arts as well. So give to your symphonies. Love your symphonies. They're doing great, amazing work all over the country. And I feel very fortunate to be able to work with them a lot.
So let's say it's the Ben Crawford television show, and you close the show, much like a Dean Martin would back in the day, with the song that you would want to be kind of associated with. What song would that be?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, man. That's a good one. The one song? Oh, wow.
We got Tiniest Wig on Broadway.
Tiniest Wig on Broadway. The Tiniest Wig on Broadway. I mean, that's a good one. Wow, it would probably be some, like, standard, I would think. Maybe, oh, gosh. I mean, like, My Way comes into, but that's everyone's next song. I did it my way. Oh, goodness gracious. There's so many songs in my head right now. That's one of the fun things, though, is, like, with these symphony gigs, I get to do a lot of different music. It's not just, like, it's all like that and like musical show tunes, and then sometimes like you do pop music, and there's every kind of, it's a very eclectic mix. So for me to like pick one song, man, my brain is like, how about I Am What I Am?
Mm.
Boom.
Nice.
Yeah. That took me a long time to get there, but I eventually did. Thanks for taking the journey with me.
Well, we had to go through the whole show anyway. So that, you know, that's to be a comedian on stage. You know, when I was doing a little homework on you, I was kind of surprised to see that it wasn't always, you know, you were really wanted to be a serious, not that you haven't done serious roles, but a serious actress. And you actually worked at a place where they almost forced you to have some comedy, where you said they would throw popcorn and hot dogs at you if you weren't. So did that really develop? You weren't somebody that made everybody laugh all the time?
Well, I went to an acting school where we did like Brecht and Shakespeare and Chekhov, and it was really serious, and I was going to be an actor. And then I got out of acting school, and I realized all the people who are making money actually could sing, and you have to do everything you can. So then I got a job at the Great American Melodrama on the Central Coast, and that was where I thought, I better be funny pretty quick. I hope I'm funny, and luckily I was. But because they would literally, if you weren't funny, they would throw popcorn and pretzels and hot dogs and soda at you. It was so hardcore, and I was coming out of a serious acting school to this Great American Melodrama that sawdust and people screaming at you, and I was like, it was, talk about culture shock. It was intense. If you imagine going from Brecht to You Must Pay the Rent, and all of a sudden, pew, like hot dogs on your face. It's always back to hot dogs. Always back to always hot back dogs.
Sick of
the journey. But I was only, what, 20? I was right out of acting school, so I was terrified. And it was good training, though, because every single month we would change the melodrama and the vaudeville afterwards. And it was always a different comedy sketch and stuff. So that's when I started really leaning towards comedy and liking it a lot. It's fun making people laugh. It's a joy.
Clarence swept you off your feet by just being a gentleman? That's all it took to get Trista?
Yeah.
Not the, hey, I got the... That's not you, is it?
No.
Deep down, you're not this diva that we see, or are you?
Oh, I'm a diva, but I know that I can't be matched with another male diva, whatever that's called. I need, like, someone who's very calm and just gentleman and kind of just sturdy, because I'm kind of like water. I'm everywhere. And
so what's been the kindest thing he said to you about this wonderful year that you're having?
You know what? Is my husband, so my husband is very religious and believes strongly that the things that we receive in life are things that are just what we deserve. So sometimes I come home and I'm like, babe, I got Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. He's like, yeah, I knew that would happen. Like, he's just kind of, that's kind of his personality. It's just like, this is what you've been working on for so long. So he kind of, in some ways, because I have other friends who are performers, they're like, oh my God, it's Broadway, freaking out. Like, they have that reaction, which I feel like is kind of the standard. But he always kind of puts it in perspective. I'm going to get a little emotional because he allows me to realize that this is something that I've always dreamt about and worked on. And he kind of is like, you know, this is the work. The work is paying off. And it is true. And when somebody reacts like that, it is kind of like, well, I'm happy. But he's like, this is what you deserve, baby. He's sweet. That's my rock. Honey. He keeps me strong.
I like that tear coming down. Aww. That's real. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
If you really were a kid that went into the Chocolate Factory and being that lucky kid, what would be the first candy that you would reach for?
Oh, my goodness.
I have to get you out of this mode right
yes,
now, you know, because
you.
I don't want you to be crying the whole time as you get ready for your next show.
You know what? I would get anything that was crunchy. I'm a chocolate crunchy girl. So if it's chocolate with nuts or chocolate with crispy Rice Krispies, I'm into the crunchy things. Because I know, like, in our actual on stage, we have Rice Krispie treats. And Ben eats a Rice Krispie treat wrapped in a piece of cotton candy.
Sometimes
he makes a Big Mac.
And the peep. There's a peep on stage. Thank you. There's a peep on stage. And you can wrap the cotton candy around the peep. But you have to get the peep before the Charlie gets it. Because the Charlie usually comes and eats the peep. But sometimes if the Charlie, like Ryan Sell, sometimes he'll come in my room and be like, Ben, you're old, or something like that. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna eat that peep, that yellow peep tonight. And he'll look and he won't find it. And I'll just like show it to him and slowly eat it in front of him. It's cute. It's fun. It's fun.
Mean. Kathy, yeah. You know, you've had such a wonderful run, and to be able to hold a marriage together, you know, everybody here is married. I think that gives a lot of people hope, because we hear so much about, you know, couples not, you know, when you're in show business, it's difficult. What has been the reason for you that has worked and could be on different coasts for you at times?
Yeah. Just like Trista, I've got a great guy, and he's sort of my rock, too. I'm sort of crazy and out here, and he's super grounded. And he just changed his career about a year ago. And that is really hard. Being with another actor is tough, because when one person has a show and the other one doesn't, those are the hard times to get through. Or, like, you know, when I first met him, he was doing National Network commercials constantly, and I was doing off-Broadway making no money. And then that switched, and then he was a bartender, and I was on Broadway and the producers, and then it switches again. And so it switches all the time, and I think it's about how you negotiate the switching and making it work and realizing that your relationship is more important than the next skit, frankly. But I do think it's a challenge as an actor to stay married. And, you know, we're headed towards 24 years now, and it's like, I don't know how we did it. But, you know, another thing, too, it's like I do think sometimes that the space actually works. Like, I went on tour with Wicked for a while, and my daughter and my husband joined me, but then they'd go away, and then I couldn't wait to see them again. So, I mean, sometimes the space works for you, and sometimes it doesn't work for you, you know. But I think it's about balancing career and family life. And if it's important to you enough, you'll make it work. And my family's the most important thing, and then skits. So. And they're here. Yay, they got in last night.
That's wonderful. They have a ways to go to catch my parents. 68 years of marriage.
Whoa.
For some reason, that gene didn't get passed along to me too
well.
It's actually interesting with our show to see how each show is different based on who's in the audience. Mm-hmm. If it's a theater-going crowd, it's a different show. If it's a bunch of kids, it's a different show. Yeah. You can tell what the ages of the kids are depending on what they laugh at. It's a couple lines about, you know, the squirrels and, like, sorting nuts, and the middle-aged kids really love those jokes. I mean, it's very interesting to see. So, and there's even moments when I have a line that I always love, when there'll be, like, one or two little kids, just like this, like, crazy cackle, you know, from a couple, and you can tell they're really little. So I think there's lines in the show can be interpreted in different ways for kind of any age to like enjoy the weirdness that we're bringing everyone. Mm-hmm.
So what's we're going to wrap this up with having you tell us what was the sweetest thing someone, a young kid, has said to you outside after the show.
Oh, well, you know, I get a lot of kids who this is their first time ever seeing a Broadway show. And it really is special to come out on the stage door and to talk to, you know, their parents and how appreciative they are that this was the show that they got to see and how amazing they thought the show was. I think one of the things that is really touching for me is meeting little girls who have either, because Charlie and the Chocolate Factory also is kind of like a thing that a lot of middle school and elementary kids do, but they're so inspired, and the idea of me having a little time with each child and saying, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll work together one day. You know, I look forward to, and the idea that they're so touched by that, and I call each girl who's played Violet and, you know, wherever small town they're from, that they're my twin. So we have those connections with people who have played the parts in different places, and I think the way they look up to me being this character is something that I never could have imagined. And people saying like, oh, you're playing my dream. Actually, I had a girl yesterday, you're playing my dream role. And I said, well, one day you could, you know, maybe be Violet. And she, oh my God, she said, maybe one day I'll be Violet. You know, like all those little things are just like, wow, I'm really touching people by playing a 12-year-old child on Broadway. It's fun. It really is fun.
See, Violet is mean on stage, but Trista Dolleson is indeed a doll to sit next to and enjoy. Ben Crawford playing Mr. Salt. Veruca Salt's dad, yeah. Yeah, you got great hair. You got a great voice. You got everything going. You're now a great dad. Gee, can you give us a little bit about, I've had everybody else tell us a little bit about your wife.
Yeah, my wife and I met in college, and we now split time. She's kind of done everything. She's had a lot of different jobs here in the city, but we split time between here and Arizona now. So we go back and forth. So she's out in Arizona right now with the little girl, and she's awesome. Like Kathy's talking about making relationships work. Like, it's a lot of compromise, a lot of figuring out what the next step is, and seeing, you know, what you do with the show, and knowing that you try and plan ahead in this business, but sometimes you can only plan so far. So you kind of have to I'm very grateful that my wife puts a lot of faith in me and that I to make decisions that you know, affect our family. And in this business, everything's so unpredictable. You gotta make a lot of plans and plan B's and plan C's, but if you're in it together, then it always somehow works.
Kathy Fitzgerald, you just happen to throw out like, yeah, the producers, you know, you were these shows, these terrific roles that you've had. So now as you get ready to have another, you know, another run, do you have any idea what show you would like to do next on the West Coast?
God, no. I think I'm going to try to put my toe in TV film a little bit more. But I'm keeping the door open to coming back here because this is where all the great theater is as far as I'm concerned. There's so many parts I'd love to do. Mrs. Lovett, I'd love to do Hannigan, I'd love to do some Shakespeare. And so I don't know what's going to be next. I'm just going to, like, put my toe in some water and see what happens.
There's only one thing I want to correct you on in a prior interview. You said at one point you were hot. You're still hot.
Thanks, Kathy. Honey. Oh my God.
Kathy Fitzgerald, Ben Crawford, and Trista Dolleson, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and good luck to you the rest of the way.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.